Through the magic of radio, the entire country is sharing in the fine performances being given during this present season at the Chicago Civic Opera House. In the near future, for instance, National Broadcasting Company stations will bring you a portion of Verdi's Otello, featuring the world-famous voices of Lawrence Tibbett and others. Other operas will be broadcast directly from the stage in NBC's series from the Chicago Civic Opera House. Listen to the familiar NBC chimes, your signal for fine radio entertainment. The magic key turns. The magic key turns, opening the door to a world of entertainment. Presented by the Radio Corporation of America. And today's program, originating on the stage of the Civic Opera House in Chicago, features the famous Swedish contralto Gertrude Wettergren. A special radio interview from Paris between André Maurois and Yves Curie. The music of the Plectrophonic Orchestra from Cincinnati. The distinguished Chicago a cappella choir, Lyon and Marlowe and their twin pianos, and Roy Shield directing a special Magic Key Orchestra. The orchestra opens the second half of our program with a medley of Victor Herbert's Spanish Serenade, the Romanza of Enrique Granados, and Rimsky-Korsakov's Capriccio Española. in Chicago, where Mr. Swing holds forth 25 hours a day, two young people have won great popularity by putting a top hat, white tie, and tails on the aforementioned Mr. Swing. June Lyon and Jerry Marlowe have entertained radio and theater audiences with their original two-piano interpretations of music ranging from Berlin to Brahms. A characteristic example by June Lyon and Jerry Marlowe of their technique, Shall We Dance? June Lyon and Jerry Marlowe offer Rhythm Lesson Number 2, that smart and swanky rhythm favorite of Piccadilly and Mayfair, the English hit, Night Ride. Thank you. The simple mention of the name Curie arouses in all those who hear it an immediate feeling of reverence and deep gratitude. The discovery of radium by Madame Curie and her illustrious husband is one of the greatest contributions to the welfare of mankind. Today in Paris, through the shortwave facilities of RCA Communications, it is our good fortune to be able to present, on the anniversary of Madame Curie's birth, her daughter Eve, who has written a biography of her mother. She will be interviewed by the famous biographer and essayist André Maurois. The magic key of RCA turns to Eve Curie and André Maurois in Paris.
Eve Curie, I'm always happy to see you, but especially today. Yes, because I happen to know that this is your mother's birthday. Am I right?
Yes, my mother was born on the 7th of November, 1867. And I am deeply moved by the fact that America remembered this anniversary and wished to commemorate it. You know that America has always shown Marie Curie a faithful and generous friendship. In 1921, the women of America presented my mother with a gram of radium that she needed for her work. Some years later, Madame Curie received from America another gram of radium, which was presented to the Radium Institute of her native town, Warsaw.
Well, it was very generous of them. As a matter of fact, Americans are always generous, and moreover, your mother's discovery has really been of great service to all mankind. I am very glad you have told in a remarkable book the story of this woman of genius. I have read it with infinite pleasure and interest.
Really, I feel quite embarrassed to speak of this book of mine, The Book of a Beginner, with you, with the author of the best biographies ever written.
Don't be foolish. This book of yours could not have been better written by anyone. And now that you are acquainted with this type of work, tell me if you did not find it as fascinating as I do.
Fascinating indeed. Particularly fascinating on account of the picturesque and even romantic quality of Madame Curie's life. Her childhood was the most unusual childhood, the hard struggle of a little Polish girl against Russian persecution. To conquer knowledge and follow her scientific vocation, this young girl needed to leave Poland to go and study in Paris at the Sorbonne. But she had no money. And for long years, she worked as a governess in Polish families before being able to take a third-class ticket for Paris. In France, for 4 more years, she lived terribly poor in a wretched garret, devoting herself entirely to work. Then she met a man whose genius was akin to hers, Pierre Curie. They fell in love, they married, they were happy. Working together, they discovered a new element gifted with magic properties, radium. And suddenly, at the very moment of triumph, came the drama, the disaster, the tragic death of Pierre Curie. From then on, Marie Curie had to carry alone what she herself called the burden of fame. She won some more scientific victories. She was awarded the Nobel Prize for the second time. Till the end of her life, she worked unceasingly, despising honors, refusing material profits, entirely concentrated on the aim she had chosen, on the mission for which she had been born. In such a story, the work and the personal life are so intimately mixed that it seems impossible to give its true value to the work without being acquainted with the life. Is it your feeling too?
Oh, quite. One never understands a man or a woman of genius as long as one does not realize that they were also human beings like ourselves. Every time I've attempted to bring out the human side, that is what you have done so well. Thanks to you, I feel now that beside her scientific genius, your mother was a very original very attractive personality.
She was sensitive and shy, with a deep and secret sweetness that perhaps she only showed to us, her daughter. She had the most generous heart. She was also a woman who worshipped nature, who adored long walks in the country and gave hours of her time to planting flowers or trees. A woman who enjoyed sports, out-of-door life. A woman interested in literature and poetry.
All this deepens my admiration for Madame Curie. Being a physicist, she remained a woman and not at all devoid of feminine sweetness and charm, as the public sometimes believe. Her life should be a beautiful example for the women who have intellectual ambitions, and I feel sure that your book will interest the American admirers of Madame Curie as much as it has fascinated its French. I'm very glad you wrote it. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
We now return to Chicago.
Once more we hear the superb voice of the great Swedish contralto, Gertrude Wettergren, star of the Metropolitan Opera Company. She sings for us first the delightful Finnish love song, the work of the composer Riki Melatin, that bears the caption, Give me thine hertz, give me thy heart. For her last song, Gertrude Wettergren chooses Massenet's Herodiade. in which the Princess Salome sings of her infatuation for the prophet John the Baptist. Il est doux, il est bon. He is sweet, he is good.
Le prophète est ici.